Welcome back, folks. This is another exciting episode of The Last Christian, and this is David Paxson. I'm here with the originator of the show, the Holy Spirit, but also J.D. Williams. Hey, J.D., how you doing today?
I'm doing really good, David, and I'm looking forward to this. You know, this verse-by-verse study, I think it's the best thing I ever thought of. And, you know, I didn't have the biblical knowledge to pull it off, and you do. And I am turning it over to you, sir. It is all yours.
Well, I'm just reading a book here. And when in reading it, I found out that it has some amazing properties. So I'm just sharing what I know and what the Lord has taught me over the years. Mm-hmm. I found out one thing when I was very young, JD, and it was this, that God knows more than I do.
Yeah.
So I asked him to prove it to him because, you know, you're 15 and you're obnoxious. So I said, well, if you're really God, then you're going to have to prove it to me, like as if I know something. I've been around for 15 years, right? But he loved me enough to say, okay, I'll prove it to you, because my heart was pure, really. I really did want to know, but I was just kind of, all right, show me. If you're God, prove it. So he's been proving it ever since. He started actually in the book of Revelation. He's like, here, read this. And I was in a youth group, and they attracted me with the lust of foosball tables because I was really good at it. And so I went to the youth group, and I'm like, okay, time to stop playing and come over and listen to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So they went over there. And then one day, the youth pastor was reading out of the book of Revelation. I said, wait a minute. Wait, read that again? When was this written? 2,000 years ago. And he wrote all this? Yeah. And it's coming to pass? Yeah. And it's really wild, and it's got dragons and things, and this is cool. And I said, if God could do that 2,000 years ago, then I suppose the rest of the book is true, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from there, it was just a matter of, okay, well, if it's true, I'm just going to believe what it says, because that's precisely what I asked him. Show me the truth. And he's like, here it is.
Yeah.
But he knew me, and he knew, it's like, I'm going to get this kid with revelation. Watch this. So, and then from there, he says, but this is where it all starts. And then from there, in my early 20s, I was actually teaching on the book of Genesis and creation. And that's, you know, we're still in Genesis 1:1, by the way, folks. This is, I think, the fifth week. We'll be out soon. Don't worry about it. We'll get to verse 2 soon. But he showed me, okay, I laid everything out. There was a plan for everything, and there's a reason for everything. And then he said, not only that, I said, well, how can you prove that this is a Bible? Because you got the Quran, you got the Nagita Hataganaga thing. Uh-huh. That Indian one, and the Hindus. I said, how can you prove it? Oh, this is funny you should ask. So he said, I can prove it not only archaeologically, I can prove it historically. I can prove it number one, because I was the only one there to write it, but I can even prove it mathematically, and I can prove it scientifically. I said, have at it. Let's go. So it's been that journey ever since. So we did look at, in the beginning here, because this is about in the beginning, where the pictographs were in there. So he even showed me pictographically, if that's a word, emojis in today's language. But he showed me the pictographs on how, you know, the Bible was written long before creation. And he tied that in with, you know, Psalms. It writes in there, hey, you were written in the book before the foundation of the world, basically. He says, I keep your tears in a jar, and I wrote everything about your life in a book. I'm like, wait, when did he write this book? I was like, oh, that's funny. Before you were born. I said, oh. Yeah.
So that's mind-blowing. I mean, even now.
Yeah, it really
you
is.
You know, it's mind-blowing. And the first time I was presented with it where it really made sense to me, it didn't make sense to me. I'll put it that way. You know? And then after you continue for a while, then it's like there's this revelation. Again, you've got to, you know, you got to believe. You have to, you know, you have to make that decision. But once you do, yeah, it all makes sense. Everything begins to come together. Do I know everything about the Bible? Absolutely not.
the more I learn, the more I realize that I know absolutely nothing about it.
All right. It's
like, wait, how did I learn more and not know anything? Now?
Yeah, it's a cool book to read, though, because every time you read it, you find something new. You know, and you can't say that about any other book.
Yeah. Wait till you find out what we're doing today.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go. Oh. I'm ready to find out.
Yeah, right. Okay, so obviously it's, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that's where we're at. Technically, in English, that's the first sentence, but it's really just part of the first sentence in the Hebrew. But there's a thought there, and that's right. What it is. While beginning to create the heavens and the earth, and it was without form and void, then God said, let there be light. So that's what we're going to get into. What is this light thing that he's talking about? And you got to have one of two world views, because light was used as the formation of everything. See, God's outside of time and space. Right. So people always say, oh, who created God? Well, no one created God. He exists outside of the time-space continuum.
And we imagine it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't possibly imagine what's that like. So you're just stupid to ask the question. And I mean that in the nicest way.
I know.
I'm sorry. you just can't imagine, because you've never been to that dimension of being outside of time.
Right.
Although we can see through quantum dynamics and physics, we can see the results of time, so we can get an idea of where it's going. We also see some wild things, like the speed of light is actually slowing down, which stretches time, and we're going to get into that as well. So people that say, oh, the universe looks like it's, you know, 14 billion years old. Well, mm-hmm. if light slows down, it can have that appearance. Mm-hmm. And that's a really weird topic. We're going to get into that too. But today we're going to talk about the two world views. Okay. So you either A, believe Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning, God.
Right.
Or you can have your God, which is nothing.
Yeah.
So you have one thing. Everything is a result of an accident. This is your God. Your God is nothing, and nothing existed, and then once upon a time it exploded. And now we have everything. All right.
And they think that we're crazy. They think that we're crazy for believing in the Lord, and they come up with a crazier thing than, you know, a 3-year-old wouldn't believe their stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me, because here you are. Now, this is your God. That technically becomes your God. Millions of years and nothing is their God, because they have faith that this is where it happened. Well, that kind of faith is much greater than the faith I have. It's some guy who's a lot smarter than me actually designed everything. That's a real easy thing to believe, mm-hmm. but the people don't want to believe that these days. So the worldview number one is everything is a result of an accident. And even today's scientific community does not want to admit that there is a creator. So they continually try to come up with some sort of explanation of how we got here. You know, you see Stephen Hawking, he was always trying to figure out how do we get here, instead of like, well, you know, God made us.
Yeah.
And they're basically doing it on purpose, and they're looking for everything. Now, back in the day, the only scientists were around were believers. Newton was a big believer, and he wrote more about the Bible and eschatology than he did about science. Most people don't know that. Louis Pasteur, all the big scientists, the Da Vinci, they all believed in a creator God, which is where they got their ideas from. Not, hey, we're going to try and figure out how this happened without God. They're going to say, well, I want to figure out how God made this.
Yeah.
And that's why they were so much smarter back then than they are today. And even to the point where they probably wouldn't even talk to you if you didn't believe in God, because, well, how can you possibly have any brains at all if you don't believe there's a creator?
That was kind of my growing up. I mean, I was... You know, I told you, I grew up in a church. My dad was a deacon. My mom played piano for the church, you know, and Sunday school teachers and all that kind of stuff. And so God was real for me from the time I can remember, you know. And the Supreme Court came down with that, you know, you can't have prayer in school or whatever. And I can remember as a child watching a TV show, and I can't, you know, I mean, I was a little bitty. I was a little bitty thing, okay? But mm-hmm. I can remember them saying, you know, the Supreme Court case about, you know, prayer in school, and I was fully expecting them to say, you know, well, yeah, the Supreme Court affirmed that. Of course they did. Yeah, of course they affirmed that. I mean, what idiot wouldn't, you know? And I said, no, they said you can't do that. And I was like, what? I thought these were supposed to be smart people. You know, I mean, you know, that was really my impression of it as a very, very single digit age. Okay. But anyway, go ahead.
Yep. And that is the prevailing view in academia. And if dare talk about God, they'll block you in every way that they can, censor mm-hmm. you and take away your tenureship. And it's really weird, actually. It's like, why would you, you know? So you're allowed to think about anything else you want except what the truth is.
Right.
But this is their view. Once upon a time, there was nothing, and then it exploded. Mm-hmm. And through random chance, everything lined up all along the way, improving itself along the way.
Well, you mentioned Hawkins. You mentioned Hawkins earlier, and his last thing was the universe exists because it has to. That was it. Because that was his big, huge revelation. That was it.
Yeah, and it's sad right now because at this point he realizes there is a God.
Absolutely.
And like the Bible says, every knee shall bow mm-hmm. and every tongue shall confess. So his tongue is working now.
Yeah.
And it's confessing that Jesus is Lord, mm-hmm. but it's confessing from a not so nice place. Correct. Unless for some reason we don't know, at his last moment he received Christ,
which
without telling anybody.
I don't. Which know. Is possible.
Possible.
We don't think it happened, but it's possible. You
yeah.
are correct.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the evidence shows otherwise, but we don't know. God right. knows. But I mean, especially given, you know, his circumstances in life. Mm-hmm. What, you know, was he mad at God because he got the disease that crippled him, or? It's just sad because, yeah. you know, the whole reason he could survive all that time is because everyone else had to help him.
Right.
So wouldn't it come to a point where it says, well, I can't even exist without God. I don't get it.
Yeah. But well, I think you probably hit on it, that he blamed God, you know, and it evolved. Hate to use that word. But his ideas evolved from that. Okay.
Yeah. So evolution, they kind of hijack the word.
Yeah.
Everything evolves, but the theory of the evolution is something completely different.
Right.
And that's one thing I wanted to touch on here as well. But the second worldview is that there was a creator, someone designed. There's evidence of design everywhere. I mean, every last thing in the universe has an evidence of design, including the anthropic principle, which means it was fine-tuned for man to live in his universe. The specific gravity, we can get into that in a minute. But you can look at it and say, all right, somebody made this. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about as well. So there are those of us who not only trust the written word, because up until day five, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he was the only one here.
Yeah.
So, and he has a written account of what happened. This is what happened. He told Moses, write this down. I'm going to tell you what happened. So this is a written account. There was no man until day six.
Right.
So there was no other witnesses. We have the eyewitness account from the creator himself of exactly those first week of creation.
Right.
And that's what's more powerful. I believe that written word because it's the only account we have, and they've been trying to destroy it ever since it was written, and they can't.
And they can't.
So it stands.
Yeah. Time. Yeah.
But we can see the evidence of design all around us. We're deliberate design by a deliberate creator. Now the question is, who is this creator? And even Romans actually asks that question in Romans chapter 1. But the four questions that come up all the time are, who am I? Where did I come from? why am I here, and where am I going?
Right.
These are the only basic questions. Okay, so I want to answer them real quick, and then we'll get into the verses and stuff. And then we'll get into random chance. We'll get into all sorts of things as much as the time will allow.
Okay.
So who am I? All right. Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That kind of fits us. So if you're in the camp of everything just exploded, you're literally just a random collection of cells, which are a random collection of atoms that evolved into human sentient life by accident. Okay. So my question at that point is, if it just evolved randomly, how can you trust it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't even trust your own brain because it just evolved randomly. It could have evolved into anything. So how can you trust it to be smart, to be thoughtful, to know even the existence of a creator or not a creator of how everything happened? Right. You couldn't possibly even think. You can't trust your brain because it evolved randomly.
Right.
So it's just an oxymoron built in. Mm-hmm. Or the worldview is, who am I? It's like, well, I'm a son or a daughter of the all-powerful, all-loving, wise Father. Okay, well, that's who I am. That's an easier one for me to believe. All right, so where did I come from? Okay. Again, the first one, you came from a random explosion of atoms that didn't exist, but then all of a sudden exploded and existed. So, but like Hawkins said, well, gravity, so that means the universe has to exist. Okay, well, who invented the law?
Yeah, who invented gravity?
Yeah. So, again, the one giant logical fallacy, it's called.
Right. All right,
you know, NASA lies, therefore flat earth. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't get it. I don't understand how people can buy into it. It's nonsensical. Yeah. It's just nonsensical. It's the only way I can describe
it. And we're going to find out in a minute why that's there. But yeah. Then, you know, as a believer, where did I come from? Oh, from the heart of the Father. He told me, he wrote this book about me. And he said, you know what? I want a terrific son. And then, you know, he's got a lot of metaphors because remember, he's outside of our dimension. He's in up to 10 dimensions. We're only in 4. So imagine that many more of what he's thinking. So he wanted a son. He wanted an heir. He wanted, the bride for his only begotten son. Mm-hmm. He wanted someone to hang out with for life. There's so many things that are wrapped into where did I come from? I came from his heart, you know, from the heart of the Father who designed you specifically before the creation in order to spend eternity just showing you how great he is. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to lavish all of his goodness upon you. That's where I came from.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
So why am I here? Well, if you believe nothing exploded and now we have everything, you're not here for any reason whatsoever.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. And you don't matter. Nothing matters. Your friends don't matter because if you don't matter, they don't matter. And it doesn't matter what they think about you.
Well, you know, I heard somebody said one time, you know, it must be just miserable not to believe in God, you know, to believe that, you know, once you're gone, you're done. You know, it's over. There's nothing there. You leave nothing, you know, and even if you're the most important person in the world within a couple of hundred years, nobody cares anymore. Nobody even remembers your name.
You know? Everyone who's here with you is gone and they don't matter either.
Yeah. I mean, that must because be a miserable gone. Existence. That's a miserable existence.
You've never made anybody because people 1,000 years from now, I don't know who that was. I don't care.
Yeah.
Right. You don't matter. Why are you here? No reason. So why do anything? So that's where they come up with, hey, you know, survival of the fittest. That's why we see the schools in the position they're in because, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not here for any reason. I might as well go have fun, smoke dope, bark at the moon, kill people. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
So that's a horrible way to live. But why am I here as a believer? I'm here to live my life for God. Amen. And to rescue others out of that pit of despair of thinking they don't matter.
Amen.
We win them back to the kingdom. So I have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. And it's because of God. Now, where am I going when I die? We talk about that on every show. Okay. And just like you alluded to, you know, it's miserable because they're just going to die and turn to dust. And that's it. They're done. Yeah. All gone. Yeah. That is so sad.
It's really sad.
All right. Now, because me as a believer in you and our friends out there who are believers, when we die, our spirit has been born again. We were born anew. We have a new contract with Jesus. Our sins have been paid for. So we get to live with the creator of the universe outside of time and space for eternity, where 1 second never passes. It just exists and all these wonderful things. Okay, we'll get new heavenly bodies. We enjoy the beauty and splendor of his creation. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. So imagine we spend eternity and every day we turn around and there's something new he created.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, that's something to look forward to. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Hey, JD, did you see that? Whoa. Look at that. Oh, look at this. Whoa. Look at that.
That's something we are going to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah, forever. We don't even stand the concept of forever. Now his mercies are new forever. What a beautiful thing. So the pseudo scholars we have today, they are viciously attacking this. And my suspicion is because they don't want to face the fact that they're heading to hell, because Romans clearly says they know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put up real quick. I'm going to read to you Romans 1 and it's 21:22. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Mm-hmm. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they didn't have to. They didn't have to do this, but they wanted to insist that they were so smart that they knew more than God. I mean, even us, we're here 60 some odd years. What is that compared to not only the age of the earth and history, but to eternity? What is that? We're a vapor.
Yeah.
You know, dust in the wind. Who is that? Who sings that?
Kansas.
Kansas. Okay, yeah. He was one of them states.
I used to be a DJ when I was a teenager.
Yeah, and they were lamenting because they were just dust in the wind. They had that whole idea. Hey, we're just dust in the wind. Well, yeah, well, except Jesus, and you don't have to be. So professing themselves wise, they became fools, but it's tough for them to understand that. And I can't for the life of me figure out why they would not accept the payment of their sin debt, so they can live with the creator who loves them eternally. I mean, what is wrong with it?
Because there's rules involved. And right now, society says you don't have to follow any rules. It's okay not to follow rules. That's what society preaches every single day. You hear it on the radio. You hear it in music. You see it on video games or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you shoot somebody, they get up for the next game. You know, I mean, everything is desensitized. Everything is, you know, like a no rules. Do whatever you want to do. It's okay. Be yourself. Just be you. I mean, you've heard all this crap. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why. That's why they don't want to follow rules, because God does have rules.
Well, you need to understand, folks, if that's your thought right now, that, hey, I don't want to follow your rules. Understand this. When you were a little baby and your mom and dad were like, hey, listen, don't stick that fork in that socket over there. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a rule, but there's a reason for the rule.
Right.
They didn't want you to get fried.
Right.
Okay. There's a rule. Don't go out in the street because there's cars going by.
Right.
And you, being a little rebellious, say, well, I'm going to go in the street. You can't tell me what to do. You're going to get hit by a car.
Right.
God is an amazing father, and he loves you beyond anything you can even imagine. And he tells you these rules on purpose, because he loves you and he wants the best for you and their protection. When he says, do this and don't do that, it's because that's what's best for you. So it's not because he's just up there being a mean old God and, you know, telling you what to do. He's telling you how to have a perfect life. This is how you do it. This is the way I designed everything. So just like the owner's manual in a car, you know, I can't put, you know, lighter fluid in the carburetor and have that work. It's going to be a problem. You know, you can't put, you know, apple cider in the gas tank.
Right.
You know, you can't put the oil in the brake fluid. It's going to be a problem.
Right.
So he tells you, hey, this is the way I designed it. This is how it works. Do it this way. Those are the rules. You should embrace those rules. Say, you know what? That's a really good idea. I'm going to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what Paul talks about that when he says, hey, the law was there because when we were a child, we needed the law to show us how to live. But now you're adults. Now you're not technically under that because you're supposed to know the laws. You're supposed to have read the user's manual and say, right, yeah, that just makes sense. I'm not going to put oil in the brake fluid because that would, it's going to be a problem. So then we learn these things, and that's what Jesus is all about, saying, okay, now you're grown up. You've learned these things. Let's move on. So
okay, speaking of moving on, believe it or not, we're halfway through the show.
Well, look at that. We'll be back.
Can you believe that? Yeah. So anyway, before we go, we got like 1 minute, David. So I want to put your website up here real quick. We're down to just a few seconds here. But anyway, if you want to get in touch with David, if you're not seeing this in visual form, go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. And you can see all the graphics and see us for what we're worth there anyway. But anyway, to get in touch with David, learn more, you can contact him at thehiddenday@protonmail.com. That's all together, thehiddenday@protonmail.com. And you can also visit his website. That's thehiddenday.com, thehiddenday.com, again, all together. And David, after the break, we'll be back with the second half of the show. I know you got a whole bunch of stuff here lined up for me, but I'm not sure we're going to get to much of it.
We'll jump right into that.
But we're going to give it our best shot. So anyway, you guys hang in there with us. We will be back after a very short break with the second half of The Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. 3 people have been killed and 16 injured in a shooting in Jerusalem. Israel says the 2 attackers are dead and are thought to have been Hamas members. It comes as a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is extended for another day to allow further hostages to be released. Egypt's state media says that mediators are pushing for a further 2-day extension of the truce. The UK is sending an additional warship to join others already patrolling the Gulf and Indian Ocean. The British Defence Secretary says it's an attempt to deter wider escalation of the conflict in Israel and Gaza. Stuart Smith reports from London.
The Royal Navy says this deployment will ensure freedom of navigation in the region, reassure merchant vessels, and ensure the safe flow of trade. The region contains a number of shipping choke points. Through the Persian Gulf, liquefied natural gas begins its journey to Britain, but commercial vessels there are often threatened by Iran. The Gulf of Aden contains essential shipping routes leading to the Red Sea, where a British-owned cargo ship was boarded and crew taken hostage last month by Houthi rebels. The same Yemen-based group has been launching attack drones to Israel, one of which was shot down by a US Navy vessel earlier in the month, also over the Red Sea. The addition of the UK's Type 45 destroyer brings anti-air warfare capabilities to its task group. Stuart Smith, London.
US prosecutors say they have filed murder-for-hire charges against an Indian national for allegedly planning to kill a US citizen who is also a Sikh separatist leader living in New York. The accused has been identified as 52-year-old Nikhil Gupta, who was allegedly given directions by an unidentified Indian government employee to execute a foiled murder plot in May. New Delhi say they have set up a high-level inquiry into the alleged connections. Neha Punya reports.
India's foreign ministry says it has set up a panel already to probe the allegations made by the US and that it's taking these concerns very, very seriously because they also impact its own national security. But experts are pointing to a very different tone and tenor taken by New Delhi in response to allegations made by Washington, D.C. and very similar allegations made by Ottawa. India says this is because US has provided credible proof it can act on while Canada has not.
German police have arrested two teenage boys who they allege were planning to carry out a terror attack. The arrests come as the country's interior minister warned of significant danger facing Germany from what she described as Islamist terrorist organizations. From Berlin, Trent Murray reports.
Authorities say the 15 and 16-year-old boys had discussed killing infidels online and had identified a Christmas market and synagogue as potential targets. Both of the boys are now in custody. Their arrest came on the same day that Germany's domestic intelligence agency said the terror threat in the country had increased in recent weeks in the wake of the war in Gaza. Trent Murray, Berlin.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and the expert, Mr. my expert is here with us, Mr. David Paxton. And David, I'm going to turn it right back over to you, and I'm going to shut up, okay? And the way that I'm going to do that and make it count for real is I'm just going to go ahead and put you full screen. So here you go. It's all yours.
Yeah. Well, a spurt is like a drip. And an X means you used to be. So it used to be a drip. That's what the expert means. So,
okay.
So I'm just learning this stuff. I'm sure there's people who know a lot more than me. But I'm going to share with you what I do know. And I know we were talking about Romans where the professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So I want to just jump on down to Romans 1:28 and said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Yeah, that's King James English for, yeah, these are things you shouldn't do. So that's what happened, that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God said, you know what? I'm going to let you believe your lies. Right. And that's kind of where we are today. And it ties in with this too, this last thing. And then I want to jump back into Genesis 1:1. It says 2 Peter 3, and I'm going to read right through 3-9. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Oh, yeah, we see them all the time. Yep. Scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. That's where we are now. The word of God, the heavens were of old. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Genesis 1:1. All right. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One thing, he says, don't be ignorant of this one thing. That's probably important. Okay. Yeah. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That means he's coming. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Mm-hmm. All right? One day is as 1,000 years. So when we're here looking at Genesis and the 6 days of creation, he literally says this, and the Hebraic way of saying things is, say, if you say it backwards and forwards, it's an emphasis, and it means exactly what it says, so you don't misunderstand it. A lot of people misunderstand with this verse as God's just willy-nilly about time and it doesn't have anything to do with him because he's eternal. Well, yes, he is outside of time and space, but everything he does within time and space is specific. It's on point. Daniel chapter 9 says, this many days until the Mashiach HaKnagid, Messiah the King, comes in on a donkey. It was exactly that many days that Jesus rode in on a donkey. It's precise. It's pinpointed. Okay. So he says, one day is analogous to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years analogous is to one day. That means there'll be 6,000 years of Earth history. Then we move into the Sabbath day, which is 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. We see that in Revelation. Right. Okay, but they're willingly ignorant. That means they're dumb on purpose.
Yeah.
They're willingly, they want to be. And this is where we're at, is the last days of scoffers. So we want to back that up and say, don't be willingly ignorant. Open your heart, open your mind. What have you got to lose? Look at the word. See if it really is true. Do what I did. Right. Because Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So if you want the honor of a king, search out the matter that I'm going to talk to you about.
Okay.
And so today's lesson is going to be about the skipping of the letters. Who's heard of Bible codes? Raise your hand.
Bible codes?
Bible codes.
Oh.
Like there's a code in the Bible. All right. And it's, yeah. Okay. This was actually figured out a long time ago. Moses knew this. Everybody knew it. But even in, there's a book, Rabbi Moses Cordovaro in the 1500s. So the 16th century, he says, the secrets of the Torah are revealed in the skipping of letters. Mm. And your DNA is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually a code that's written on strands. They're really long. And it just writes out who you are. It's a 3.2 billion letter word. Okay. So if anyone, if they can see my name written on the wall, David, it's only 5 letters. All right. But if you walk in a room and you see David written on the wall, you know for a fact there was an intelligent life in there that wrote that on the wall because it's a code. D-A-V-I-D. Well, if you have 3.2 billion letters in one word and it spells out who you are as a person, it was designed. There was an intelligent life that wrote that word. It's more than 5 letters. Trust me on that one. So seek out a matter.
That makes sense to me.
But your DNA not only reads forwards, it reads backwards. It reads when you flip it over. It reads when you do letter skipping, because he's got to get a lot of information in there. He's got to say, okay, how does this cell? This cell is, one cell is more complicated than a city. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's got, buildings, it's got roads, it's got railroad lines that are going in there. It's got trash management. It's got food. It's got to figure out how to eat. It's literally, one cell is more complicated than an entire city. So it had to be designed.
Right.
It just makes sense.
Right.
And not only that, it's a self-replicating city. It takes out the DNA, goes, right? 3.2 billion letters. And then says, okay, let me make another one. So a minute later, you got another one. How does that happen? Yeah. Well, that's all written in the code. So when you're doing Bible studies, God has to do that in his word as well. That's another way, number one, of him getting more information in there and various layers, because you could skip one letter, 2 letters, 5 letters, 10 letters, whatever. You could skip a certain amount of letters and see things. Like the passage where, you know, it talks about the trees. There's actually 25 different types of trees that are encoded by letter skipping in that verse where he talks about creating the trees. Hmm. And that's not found anywhere else. How is that possible? That he just did magically put all these letters together, and somehow if you skip the right amount of letters, it has all the different trees. That's crazy. Yeah, because it just happened by accident. It was just random fairy tale that somebody wrote.
I don't believe in accidents.
Grow up, people. Yeah. It's the honor of kings that seek out a matter. So I'm going to show you something right in the beginning, in equidistant letter spacing. Okay. And this particular one is going to be unique because this guy actually found this out in the 1500s. So he must have had a lot of time on his hand because today you can go with computers. Hey, look for this word and skip this many letters and it'll, oh, here it is. And they did this with a lot of different things. All right. Now, some of them get crazy and you know, they get a little Gnostic, like the Gnostics did with the Bible in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So be careful with them. But the codes are in the Bible. If you can bring up the Genesis screenshot there.
Okay.
I want to show you something. Now, if we look at this, we can see it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, they found out that there's a letter skipping of 49 letters. So you get the letter, you go 49 letters, and then the 50th letter, there's a specific letter, and it actually spells out a word. And then this is also because there's 49 days, and then the 50th day is Pentecost, the year of Jubilee. There's 49 years, and then the year of Jubilee. So this is really powerful that it's actually 49 letters skip, and it's divisible by 7. Remember, we talked about 70 times 7 last
right.
week?
Right.
Okay, so it's really powerful that it has a 49-letter distance in between. But I don't know if you notice here, I put little circles. We come to the first Tav, all right? And then we count 49 letters, and then we see where there it is. Oh, a resh. It's small. I couldn't see it. I should know, though, because it spells Torah. It's a Tav, and then you see the next circle. Remember, Hebrew reads from right to left, right so to start left. On the right. Yeah, side. Right. Tav, a resh, a Tav, a Vav, a resh, and a Hey. I'm trying to get my Hebrew letters straight. A Tav, it's a T. The Vav is the O. The Resh is an R. And the H is a. So it's Torah. It spells out Torah.
Yeah, okay.
So that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? So in a 49-letter sequence, it spells Torah.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the first five books.
I wonder where they got that from. Okay.
Well, Torah basically is an acronym, but it's here encoded in the individual letters. Now let's go to Nineveh, Exodus.
Okay. Let's see. I don't have this one quite as good, yep. But we'll go ahead.
Okay. So Exodus, it has the same thing. Okay. We see the Torah in there, and it's the same 49-letter skip.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now the odds of having a 49-letter skip and saying Torah in the first place, the odds are pretty high that, okay, this is happening. To have it twice in a row, what are the odds of that? Mm-hmm. Because here's a 49-letter skip. You take the Torah there, and then the Vav, the Tav, the Vav, and then you see the Resh in the loins of, and then the Hey in that generation. So we have the same thing. It spells Torah in a 49-letter skip.
Right.
So that's okay. Interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now, let's go over to Leviticus.
Leviticus, okay. Get it right here.
Okay. Leviticus is interesting. We don't see Torah in Leviticus. So let's just skip that for now.
Okay.
Let's go to Leviticus, Exodus, right? No, Leviticus, Numbers.
Numbers? Okay, hold on. Let me find
here. Okay, Numbers and then Deuteronomy, yep. So Numbers is actually interesting because now it spells Torah backwards. We see the Hey and then the Resh after 49 and a skip. And then we see the Vav and then we see the Tav, all the same thing, equidistant letter spacing. But we see Torah spelled backwards.
Why? Why is that?
Well, that's what we're going to get into. Okay. Now, check this out. It's spelled backwards. And now let's go to Deuteronomy.
Okay. Let me get over here. There you go.
And lo and behold, there it is again, backwards.
Okay.
Hey, Vav, Resh. Resh. Vav, T, and the Tav. Anyway, it's Torah backwards.
Okay.
You know, See, I told you I wasn't that bright. Again, it spells Torah backwards.
Okay.
And it's 7 times 7 is 49. So we see Torah forwards pointing towards Leviticus. And then we see Torah backwards, again, pointing back to Leviticus. So let's go back to Leviticus.
Okay. Let's see if I can get this here. And there we go.
Okay. So look at what we see in Leviticus. That's a... Now, this is unique because it's only 7 letters you skip.
Okay. Why is that?
That's interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because now it's 7 letters because now 7 is the perfection of God's government, basically.
Yeah.
But even the 7-headed dragon, that's a perfection of the Antichrist government. But that's another story. The fact is it's 7, and it's space 7, and it's Yod, He, Vav, Hey, what is that? That's Yahweh.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes
that
sense.
That is, in all caps, the Lord.
Yeah.
This is the name of God. When Moses is on the mountain, he says, I am that I am. He's literally saying, I'm the one who is and was and is to come.
Right.
That's Yahweh. Or Jehovah, some people say. Yeah. Or Yahuwah, you know, depending on your accent. So this is Yahweh. So you see that the 7 is there, but then 7 times 7, 49 letters, we have the Torah pointing to Yahweh from the front and then pointing backwards from Numbers and Deuteronomy back to the fact that the Torah is pointing out who God is in his law. Now, tell me, that happened by chance.
No, there's no way. But that's crazy. I'd never looked at anything like that before. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and the Bible is chock full of these equidistant letter spacings, in addition to the mathematics, which we'll get into on another show. So
that all comes from this.
Yeah, that's in the first 5 books. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, he says, okay, here's the start of my Torah, my law, or with the instructions is a better word. It's not really law. These are his instructions. So he's showing us right from the very beginning that all of this is pointing to who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And so we need to understand that right from the very beginning, all of this is pointing to who God is. And if any of you are mathematicians out there, you go ahead and figure out what are the odds of that happening, not just in one book where it's 49 letters and then the next letter, 49 letters and the next letter, 49. All right. But then to have it in 2 books, okay, then to have it in 2 other books and then calculate backwards. You see how exponential this gets? And then have both of them pointing to the one who created it to begin with, and the numbers match up perfectly. Okay, 7 and then 7 times 7 each way up.
It's just like blowing my mind. Okay. I have way back, I remember somebody trying to do Bible coding, you know, you do this with a Bible, and you know, it made no sense. It was silly. The coding stuff that they came up with, which was for a completely different reason. I mean, it was a completely different reason, and it didn't make sense because it wasn't supposed to make sense because it was silly. But what you are talking about, it makes sense, but it's mind-blowing to think about it, you know. And, I mean, how in the heck do you write something that does that unless you are a supreme being, unless, you know, you are the creator? There's no way. There's no way a regular human being could do that. I mean, pick up a Bible.
How would he know even to do it? How would he even know?
It's mind blowing. Okay, I'm sorry, David. I had to throw that in there because it's just mind blowing. Go ahead.
It really is. It really is. And so the DNA actually is a form of this as well. It's super encoded. So How much time we got left on this?
You got just over 9 minutes.
Oh, okay, good. We can get into a few more interesting things.
Okay.
Let's talk about quantum stuff now. We say quantum physics, and people are like, ah. No, quantum simply means this. Everything comes in a quantity.
Okay.
Okay. And so when you do a violin string, you go, ooh, and that's analog. You can go all the way up and all the way back.
Right.
Okay. And what they found is that they thought the universe was infinite and analog. Okay. But through from Einstein time on up, and then Hubble with his space telescope and all these things, they've discovered that the universe is actually quantized. And that's where Planck started talking about his quantum theory stuff. And he found it by accident. He put the wrong equation in and it worked. So, which was really wild. It's like, okay, God's like, okay, it's the end of the age. We're coming up. Let me throw, boom. Okay, here, do this by mistake. And boom, he found it.
I love it.
So that's where we came up with Planck time. Now, this is my opinion. I think that Planck time, because it's quantized, everything happens in a series of packets, let's say, okay, or a frame, if you would. Okay. Okay. A frame of a movie going by, one frame, one frame, one frame, one frame.
Right.
But there's in time, there's 10 to the 43 frames per second. Okay. Now imagine 43 zeros after that, a gazillion, quadrillion, gadillion, you know, mega petabits. All right. How many frames is that? It's super crazy fast. It's actually almost to the point of absurd. They consider 10 to the 50th absurd. So the rapture will happen between one of these frames, between one frame and the next. That's where we got the Planck theory of in a twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's talking in quantum language. It's literally from one frame to the next. This way, the prince of the power of the air has absolutely no chance to interrupt us like he did with Daniel. Mm-hmm. Daniel, remember, it took him 21 days. Right? So 21 days it took for that angel because he had to go fight the prince of Persia.
Okay.
All right. So hang on a second. Whoa. Making noise over there. So obviously, if he's coming back to get his bride, Satan's going to try and stop him because right now he's the prince of the power of the air. But if God comes between the frames of time, what's he going to do? It's literally going to be one frame we're here, next frame we're gone.
Yeah.
He's got no chance whatsoever. And, hence, it will be in the twinkling of an eye.
And, of course, God gave, he made it clear that only he knows when that's going to happen. So, you know, Satan, he's got no shot. I mean, has no shot. None at all.
And we're just going to live. And that's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be here one point and then... That split second, 10 to the 43 seconds.
Everybody, you're
we're going to have this new uncorruptible body, chains in a moment. Yeah. The twinkling of an eye.
That change thing, you know, ever since we did a show, I think it might have been the first show that the two of us did together. I can't remember. But anyway, you came up with this concept or this idea. You put something in my mind that I can't get rid of, David. I've tried. I cannot throw this away. Okay.
It's stuck.
You know, the rapture may not be what people think it is, as far as
not a disappearing,
in a twinkling of an eye, you're gone, you disappear. Okay. Well, that's what I bought into. That's what I've always thought. And then you had to come up with something new. Right.
It was the original.
Yeah, it's the same, but it's different. And that is that in a twinkling of an eye, everybody is a Christian that, you know, is going to be raptured is changed. And so they no longer have their human body, but now they've got their
spiritual body.
Spirit. Yeah. And
incorruptible.
Go up. It doesn't, I mean, there's no speed involved here, you know, but you know, you just rise and everybody sees it. Okay. I can't get rid of that. I cannot get rid of that because that is a possibility. It could happen that way. It really could.
Well, let's take a look at it. Because he says, number one, the dead in Christ shall rise when?
First.
Oh, okay. So they have to rise. Well, how long does it take to rise?
I don't know.
All right. But then he says first. So something's got to be second. If it's all in the twinkling of an eye and boop, we're gone all of a sudden and everyone else is gone, then there's no second. There's no then.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
dead
true.
Dead in Christ shall rise
first.
You
did it again.
Then.
You did it again. Now I'm going to have problems getting that out of my mind.
Yep, those who are alive and remain, mm-hmm. so we have to remain, will be caught up together with them in the air. And that's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. He's going up and everyone's watching him.
Yeah.
Because the two angels said what? Why stand ye here gazing? He's going to come back the same way.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I think people miss that. I missed it. I mean,
missed it for years because we just taught something. Yeah, we think the airplanes, all of a sudden, we're going to be gone and there's clothes in the seat. That's not what it says.
You know,
it says
actually,
we'll be changed in a moment.
Actually, as a very young child, I had that idea. As a very young, now, I'm going completely off the rails here to tell you this quick story, but we're almost out of time anyway, so I'll do it. And that is that, you know, I was on my swing set, you know, swinging and all that, and we're, you know, was thinking about the rapture of the church. Because, you know, I went to church from the time I can remember. And I was thinking, you know, if you don't get saved or whatever and people rise up, because it said Jesus rose up, and I'm thinking about slowly going up into the clouds, right? So if you're not saved, you know, maybe if I don't make it, maybe if I don't qualify, I'll go over and grab mommy. I'll grab her.
Grab her foot.
Yeah. Let it take me up that way, you know. So anyway, in a way, I thought about what you're saying, but, you know, and that was in a, you know, I guess kindergarten age, thing about it, you know.
Accept them like children.
But, you know, the thing is you can't grab a spirit. So nobody out there try to get the idea that you can do that because you're not going to be able to ride your mommy. Okay.
Well, that's going to be the new incorruptible body. So it's going to be bodies that can operate in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. It's almost like angels can turn into bodies if they want to, but I think we're obviously a lot better than that, but I got to try and think of something. So like
right,
Jesus,
well,
you know, he was the spirit. You know,
we're getting down to the end of it. And I knew we would. We'll pick this up again next week. And, you know, I tried not to get too involved in it. I apologize if I took up too much time in the first half.
But, that's right. It's not like we're going to run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to keep it. We're going to keep it going. It's an education, and I'm loving it. The whole thing, though, is remember, just like there is that last play in a football game, when the rapture happens, the game's over for you if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that by simply going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I ask you for forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose on that third day. I know he is sitting at your right hand, and he's waiting for the instruction to go get his church, all of us Christians, living and dead. He'll collect us in the air, and then God unleashes that wrath for 7 years. Please, Lord, forgive me, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And when you say that prayer, if you are that last individual we're looking for, then the face that you see will be Jesus Christ. And you'll see David and I and all Christians living and dead right there. We'll be there. We'll be waiting. And we'll be celebrating with you. We'll be just as happy as you are, trust me. I hope that you will take the time to join us again in the next show for another edition of The Last Christian. Till then, good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.